That's Kevin Parent. I'm Peter Zarsky. You're listening to Morningside on CBC Radio. And now here is the absolutely final concluding episode of Midnight Cab. Today, Walker tries to find out who mugged Inspector Kiss in the parking lot. The mystery of the soft-hearted man.
Nowhere.
Keep on sending this to yourself.
The corner of Harvard and Bathurst.
You have a pickup at 2528 Kennedy Road.
Hey, that's miles from where I am. Isn't there anyone closer?
What?
Never mind. I'm on my way.
January 25th. It's the middle of the morning. The house is as quiet as a tomb. I can hear the tap dripping downstairs. I'm all alone. Just a few weeks ago, everything changed. Krista had already started her new job December 1st, working days down at the cab company, managing the place. I was mushing my cab through the snowy streets, and Joe Smart, wonder mechanic, was dispatching. It was kind of hard keeping my spirits up. Krista's spirits were up, though, waiting around the cab company in her wheelchair or on her crutches, wearing her best clothes, a big smile on her face. And Martha, our daughter, she's a year and a half now, she's healthy and smarter than Krista and me put together, and me. I'd started working on my fourth unpublished novel. So everything was okay. So what if it wasn't in the cards for me to be a famous writer? I just had to, like, keep going. Anyway, that's what I was telling myself. Be a man, would you? When I got back from Kennedy Road that night, parked in the slush in front of Inspector Kiss's apartment across from Maple Leaf Gardens, and buzzed myself up.
Inspector Kiss?
Yeah. Kid, how you doing?
Okay, how are you doing?
Well, side's better, and my ass is sore as hell.
Well, when you get stabbed, I guess you can expect to be kind of sore.
Yeah, thanks for the insight, Walker. Give me a drink, will you? And make one for yourself.
I'm driving.
Well, did you get a pop?
To tell the truth, Inspector Kiss still didn't look very good. He'd gone out one night about 2 a.m. with a terrible headache, drove over to the all-night drugstore in Bay, just below Girard, for some pills, and got mugged in the parking lot. And just for some extra fun, as Inspector Kiss put it, one of them stuck him in the side, and then, when he tried to grab him, the other one got him right in the butt. Inspector Kiss is more than a little tough, though. Got up out of the snow and drove himself over to Toronto General and passed out on the admission desk.
Hey, it's that kid from Big River.
Jeez. Mr. Piatelli, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here? You look like a waiter. You're supposed to be driving my cab.
Well, I just drop in about this time like every other night just to see if there's anything I can do for Inspector Kiss. Like run errands, stuff like that. Just for a minute. Do you want a drink?
No, I wouldn't drink here.
He's afraid I'd poison him.
Yeah? Really? Well, here's your drink anyway.
Thanks, Walker.
So, you guys, you've known each other a long time, I guess, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, that's good. So,
Yeah, he was the first guy I ever arrested. Weren't you, Alfonso?
Yeah, Wilfred. You've been a pain in the ass ever since. Oh, excuse me.
That's all right.
I'm going.
It was nice we could have this little chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate you clearing things up for me.
Don't believe me. I don't give a damn. Not that I haven't thought about it. You just lay off me. You understand?
I'll see you around, Alfonso.
How's your ass, Walker?
It's fine.
Then get it back in my cab.
With that, Mr. Piatelli, all 300 pounds of him, went out the door.
New tires.
What?
1965. Alfonso was selling new tires. Except they weren't exactly new.
Oh. So, what was all that about?
It's private, kid. Is private.
Inspector Kiss continued to lean against the back of his armchair. He couldn't sit down, drink in one hand, cane in the other, and looked at me in his inscrutable, fathomless-eyed way until I blinked and drank my pop.
Did you wash these dishes up today. I didn't get a chance last night.
Yeah, Martha, if you don't quickly bring...
Hurry up, I'm late. Did you see that fire alarm on the kitchen table?
Martha,
I
don't want to go in your socks. You'll get wet feet on top of the fridge.
Why did you put it up there?
Because every other place was covered with dishes. Martha!
It's because it's your week to do them, that's why. So, how'd your writing go this morning?
I don't know. Okay. I just got started, and then Martha woke up.
Oh, you'll get a couple of hours in this house, though, if you set the alarm for 3:30. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Walker?
What?
I love you.
I love you.
I don't like doing this.
What? What?
Going out in the cold. Did you brush the snow off the car?
Look at her, all strapped in, all zipped up, both boots on, hat half off, one mitten off, over to go. Martha looks pretty good too, eh?
Ha ha.
I'm not writing this app. I have to go downtown. This publishing place I sent, Other Worlds, they said I didn't enclose enough postage to mail it back to me, so I'm going to pick it up.
Oh. Well, there's other publishers, Walker. What do they know?
Yeah.
Some people just aren't very bright, are they? How do they stay in business?
So anyway, I'll come over to the office about 5, and we can drive home together.
Okay.
After I picked up my manuscript, I dropped in to say hi to Inspector Kiss because I was close to his place and, well, I was curious about what was going on between him and Mr. Piattelli. When I got off the elevator, this woman and a boy of about 12 were coming out of Inspector Kiss's apartment. I held the elevator door open for them, waited.
Hi.
Hello.
They disappeared behind the elevator door. A woman in her 30s, really tired-looking, and her hard-eyed kid, his baseball cap turned back to front.
So, Walker, what are you doing here?
I had to pick up another one of my manuscripts before they recycled it.
Yeah? Well, yeah, come on in.
Thanks. Can't stay too long. I'm meeting Krista. So, how's your, wounds?
Yeah, my wounds are okay. Take off your coat. You got time to make me a drink?
Mm.
I get tired making them all by myself all day. Get one for yourself. You're not working.
Okay. So, who were those people that just left?
What people?
That woman and her kid. They just got in the elevator?
What are you talking about? There wasn't anyone here.
Yeah, I even held the elevator for them.
Yeah, well, good for you. Now buy yourself some glasses. They must have come out of the next apartment, huh?
Oh. Something kind of weird happened today.
Something kind of weird is always happening to you, Walker. Oh, look at this traffic. I'm going to be late picking up Martha again. I'll have to pay extra.
I dropped in to see Inspector Kiss for a second.
Oh, well, no wonder.
No wonder what?
I know he's your friend and everything, and he got stabbed. But he's a nut.
Why?
He called Alfonso today. I took the call. He was yelling at him. Alfonso was spluttering away. He stood up like he was going to have a heart attack, but he couldn't get a word in edgewise. Just Inspector Kiss's voice, like a machine gun. I could hear it halfway across the room. Bad, bad, bad. It was scary. Scared Alfonso.
Jeez. What did Mr. Piattelli say?
Oh, he just said, what would I be doing in a parking lot at 2 in the morning?
What? What else?
I can't remember anything else. He slammed down the phone. I think he said, they don't have no proof. And then he went storming off. What? Alfonso, he wouldn't have had anything to do with what happened to Inspector. Would he? He wouldn't hurt a flea. Would he?
No.
I couldn't wait the next afternoon either because Alfonso Piattelli and Inspector Kiss kept dancing in my head, locked in mortal combat. In a parking lot. So I took the subway downtown again instead, but this time I walked over to Inspector Kiss's office in the new Metro Toronto Police Headquarters, College and Bay.
Hey, look who's here.
Hiya, Wanda.
Detective Percival to you, white boy.
Detective Percival.
Get yourself a coffee. Sit down.
No, it's okay.
Just a sec. Reports. Better I should have taken a computer course on forensics. There. So, I hear you're looking after the boss.
Yeah, I just drop in now and then.
Grumpy as hell, isn't he?
I haven't noticed any difference.
Me neither. Bunch of us took over a present the other day. A soft, furry thing to sit on. Fits over his toilet seat. You should have seen his face. He didn't know whether we were serious or not.
Oh, jeez. I don't think he's using it.
No, of course he won't use it. He has to do everything the hard way. Ha ha. Don't you go telling him what I just said.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't want to, but I do need some information.
Really? This is new. According to Wilf, you're the bright kid who usually has the information.
Yeah, well, it's just that I've been wondering about Inspector Kiss, his own case, how it's going. You know, who stabbed him and stuff like that.
We're on it.
Great. Any suspects? Any clues?
You know I can't tell you official police business, Walker.
Inspector Kiss does all the time.
Yeah? Well, he shouldn't, should he? Why?
He seems really upset, that's all. So I was just wondering, maybe there's more going on than he might have said? Something like that?
What's to go on? He was assaulted by two punks in the parking lot.
Weird how it happened, though, don't you think? One guy stabs him in his right side. He grabs that guy. The other one sneaks up from behind him and stabs him in the left butt.
What's so weird?
Did you examine his wounds?
Are you kidding?
Well, the way he tells it, both of those guys must have been left-handed. And what are the odds against that?
Oh, Lord.
Either that, or there was just one guy, and the statement Inspector Kiss gave isn't exactly, like, accurate.
That old bugger. I didn't suspect for a moment he wasn't telling me the truth.
So, what if the attack wasn't random? What if it was personal? What if someone was upset at him, or he was upset? Wanda? Was he, like, upset with, like, anyone lately?
Well, how could you tell? He's always just the same. You know what he's like. He's not exactly Mr. Emotion.
No. Okay. That was just a long shot. I'll let you get back to work. Thanks anyway. Who knows? Maybe they were both left-handed.
He wasn't upset about a person. He was upset about a situation a few days before. But I don't see...
What situation?
This guy, a con, he was killed in Kingston. An argument, a knife, and he was dead. Jamie Anderson. Inspector Kiss helped send him up about a year ago.
He was upset because a guy was killed in Kingston.
His family. We're not supposed to get emotionally involved, but sometimes it happens. When Anderson went up there, he left a young family in Toronto in pretty rough shape. Inspector Kiss started to help out. You know, bit of money here and there, just looking out for them until Anderson got back out. But then he was killed inside. Inspector Kiss and I, we went out for a drink. He was upset. That's how I know about it. Kind of blamed himself. Don't you let any of this out, Walker. It's private.
Right.
And anyway, what's it got to do with Inspector Kiss getting stabbed? Friends of Anderson? Revenge? I don't see it. Because if that is what happened, then why wouldn't he say...
Why wouldn't he say? Because his assailant had been a longtime friend? I walked along College Street towards Yonge. Huge wet snowflakes started to fall. The city was lost in a blur of white. And so was the inscrutable face of Wilfred Kiss. And Mr. Pietelli, he wouldn't hurt a flea. I believed that, knew that. There was one other thing I knew that kept bothering me, though. Mr. Pietelli was left-handed. I drifted through the snow, crossed at the lights, and continued walking along College, Carlton now, on the Maple Leaf Garden side, on my way over to get another ride home with Krista. But when I was just about opposite Inspector Kiss's apartment building, someone came out the front doors that I recognized. The boy with the turned-around baseball cap, wet running shoes, baggy coat, the kid whom Inspector Kiss had denied had ever been in his apartment at all. The kid walked along Carlton, turned down Church, heading south towards Girard, and disappeared. I thought of what Wanda had said about the Anderson family, the father stabbed in the Kingston pen, and I decided to follow him. He walked south as far as Dundas Street, then jumped on a Dundas streetcar going east, and so did I. Got off at Parliament, headed south again, cutting across Regent Park, a public housing complex of apartments and townhouses, leaving a trail through the snow, and then on to Shooter Street. Finally, he turned into a Regent Park townhouse where two little girls were building a snowman in the front yard and began to pile snow on top of its head. The girls complained loudly, punching his arms, and I crossed the street to a convenience store, bought myself some cigarette papers, and watched through the window. The girls seemed to accept that the boy was going to make a cone head out of their snowman, whether they liked it or not, so they began to help him. He worked quickly, gathering up the snow and then patting it firmly on top of the snowman's head with his left hand.
Hi.
Hi.
Nice snowman.
I know who you are.
You do?
Wolf told me I'd better get back home quick. You were coming.
He did?
Yeah. Are you Tom?
Mrs. Anderson?
Yeah.
I'm a friend of Inspector Kiss.
Come on in. Gibby, come on.
She held the door open, and I hesitated for a moment, then I went in. Gibby followed me.
Gibby, take off your wet stuff and go make us a coffee, okay?
Okay.
Hang your stuff up and sit down.
Mrs. Anderson, first of all, I should tell you...
I've seen you before, haven't I? Sure, in Wilf's building. You were on your way to talk to him about Gibby then, were you? Wilf says you're the best youth worker in the city.
Oh. Mrs. Anderson, I will take off my boots because I would like to talk to you, if that's okay. I am a good friend of Inspector Kiss, but...
Yeah, he said you were. Jamie hated his guts. He hated every cop's guts. But Wolf turned out to be such a great guy. That's why I felt so bad when it happened.
When what happened?
Gibby liked him. That's what blew my mind. He even said he wanted to be a cop, just like Wolf, when he grew up. Wolf even took him to a hockey game once. Just grazed, but Gibby was thrilled. I want to be a cop, just like Wolf. That's what he said.
He could do a lot worse.
Gibby was just over at his place, just now. He went all by himself this time to say how sorry he was. That's brave, isn't it?
Yeah.
He told Wilf he'll do anything you tell him to do, and so will I.
Mrs. Anderson?
Look, I know it's real serious, but everybody went sort of crazy when we got the news about Jamie being killed.
Mm-hmm.
Wilf stayed late into the night because I couldn't settle Gibby down. You killed my father, he kept screaming at him. Then he'd go and cry on his bed, and we'd think he was asleep. Then he'd come out screaming some more. His poor sisters were in hysterics. Finally, Wilf said he'd go to the drugstore, try to get something for Gibby, calm him down. But when he went to go, turned his back. Gibby ran at him with this knife. I saw him, almost caught him. He stumbled, and the knife went right into Wilf. He turned, and Gibby stuck him again, right in his side. Oh, God. I'm so grateful to Wilf for not wringing his neck right there. Not even wanting to punish him. Just trying to get him help. I know he needs help, but he's a good boy. And
oh, jeez. Mrs. Anderson... I've already made a mistake. I'm a friend of Inspector Kiss's, but I'm not the youth worker you were expecting.
What? Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. My name's Walker, Walker Devereaux, and I knew something else had happened to Inspector Kiss more than what he was saying, and I was worried that...
Walker? You're Walker?
I really apologize. I had no right. I violated your privacy and Inspector Kiss's privacy, and... Oh, jeez.
What do you know? So you're Walker.
Yeah?
You're kind of a hero around here.
I am?
Sure. Wilf's always talking to Gibby about you. You get into more hot water than a bucket of lobsters, right? The stories Wilf tells about you, Gibby loves them.
He does?
Yeah. You could have told me who you were, though. You keep your mouth shut? What I said about Gibby? Won't you, Walker?
Yes, I sure will. I'm just glad Gibby's getting some, like, help. Tom, is it?
Yeah. Wilf says he's the best.
Then everything will be okay. Gibby will be okay.
Yeah.
Mrs. Anderson introduced me to Gibby, and though he tried to stay cool-looking, his eyes kind of lit up. Jeez. We went back together, Gibby and me, went across the road for a pop, then had a snow fight. Gibby packs and throws a wicked snowball, left-handed. And then this really tall young guy came along, Tom, the youth worker, and so I said goodbye to Gibby and walked away through the snow. I turned... And Gibby was still standing there, watching me.
Hey, Joe, where's Krista?
What?
Is Krista around? I can't find her.
What's it to you?
I want to ride home, okay? She's my wife, okay? Where's Mr. Piatelli?
What? What am I, your personal secretary? I gotta fix cars. I gotta dispatch. Now I gotta know everything.
No danger there.
What?
I checked at the side of the building. Chris's car was already gone, but I wasn't really worried. I told her I was coming downtown. I'd walk over for a ride home again, but maybe she forgot. So I took the subway home and thought about Mr. Piattelli. Krista had said Mr. Piattelli looked like he was going to have a heart attack. And Inspector Kiss was yelling at him like a machine gun over the phone. And then Mr. Piattelli had said, "What would I be doing in a parking lot at 2 a.m? They have no proof." What was going on? When I got home, Krista wasn't there. Martha wasn't either. No noise, giggles, rattle of pots and pans, arguments over whose turn it was to make supper. It was quiet as a tomb. And then I did start to get worried. When you've been married as long as I have, almost 3 years, and you have a kid, you get so you hate a quiet house. It's kind of eerie. I rolled a smoke and had a beer, waited. Then I called the babysitter. Krista had picked Martha up over an hour ago. Hello?
Walker?
Oh, Mr. Piattelli.
Walker, I got a problem here.
What? What problem?
You better come down to Wilf's place right now. Hurry up!
It was about 6:45. Krista and Martha were about an hour past their usual time. I wrote a note, told Krista where I was going, left it on the kitchen table, ran out on the Danforth, flagged a cab, and headed down to Inspector Kiss's place. When I buzzed the apartment, no voice came over the intercom, just the front door clicking open. I took the elevator up, got off, and I saw Mr. Piattelli standing down the hall in front of Inspector Kiss's apartment, watching me. He looked away, leaned against the wall, like he was about to cry.
I couldn't help it. I just lost it. I lost it.
I looked in through the open door. The apartment was dark. I stepped in, and then I saw a kind of soft light flickering at the end of the hall. I walked through the dark, turned the corner, and there were a whole bunch of candles burning on Inspector Kiss's dining room table, and the table was set for a big meal, and Krista was sitting there, and so was Martha, and even Joe Smart, the first time I'd ever seen him with a tie on and his hair combed, and Inspector Kiss was standing behind them with a kind of cockeyed grin on his face, and Mr. Piattelli switched on the light.
Surprise! Oh, geez, Inspector Kiss, what's going on? Gotcha, gotcha.
Went over on you,
you you see?
Hey, Walker, you look like you lost. Again. Remember, when he first came, he was always getting lost.
Oh, don't be mad, Walker.
I'm not. It's just... He's just a little nonplussed, huh?
Yeah.
Watch Martha for a sec, Joe. Walker, they made me do it.
Come on.
You did. I didn't want to worry you, not too much, but we've got really good news.
We do?
Remember Kate Millington, Lone Tree Publishing? She was going to publish you, but she went broke.
She's back in business?
No. Kate showed Other Worlds to a friend at Little Brown & Company in Boston. They called her. They love it. She called us just the other day.
Why didn't you tell me?
Well, you were out, and then Alfonso called, and
I got this great idea.
They're going to call at noon tomorrow.
What?
They've already assigned an editor. They're going to give you enough money to rewrite full-time, and then there'll be an advance against royalties. I kind of acted as your agent. Walker, you're a writer.
Oh, jeez.
It killed me not to tell you.
It killed me.
Oh, don't be mad, Walker. Walker, say something. Walker?
But I must have looked dumb just standing there. Then I hugged Krista and I hugged her and I hugged her. And she kissed me like crazy all over my face. And Mr. Piattelli cuffed my head and Joe slapped my hand. Inspector Kiss gave me a wink, I think. And Martha, she hung onto my neck through most of the supper. This terrific supper that Inspector Kiss and Mr. Piattelli had managed to cook together. It was amazing.
So you thought I stabbed him, didn't you? Huh? Beautiful. It was beautiful.
Okay, Alfonso.
Don't keep rubbing it in.
Why not?
Because everybody's wrong once in a while. Walker's helped out in a lot of cases, but this time, whoever those guys were to stab me, and it breaks my heart, but it looks like it's just going to remain a mystery, even to Walker. Right, kid? Right.
I almost said, "Gibby, look how smart I am. Gibby did it." But I bit through my tongue, and I didn't. Being a full-time writer takes some getting used to. The house is quiet as a tomb. Krista's working, Martha's at her babysitter's, and I'm rewriting Other Worlds, trying to. How long has it been since I first came down from Big River, started to drive cab, and met the woman behind the dispatcher's voice? This cute little blonde with the most amazing blue eyes, Krista Papadopoulos, sitting in a wheelchair. Now everything's changed. The change is great. It's kind of scary. What's the future hold in store for me and Krista and Martha? No matter where we go, what we do, do you know the thing I think I'll miss the most? Ringing out across the dark city night, materializing like magic in the air, inside the little world that was my cab.
Walker! Walker, where are you now?
I'll miss the most is listening to Midnight Cab on Morning Fetish. I indicated at the beginning of this morning's program, but allow me to indulge myself by repeating. I have no proprietary interest in this whatsoever, but in all the time I was away and convalescing and listening to the radio, I became a member of the home audience for Midnight Cab. I loved it and salute all the people who were in a part of it. The mystery, here they come, their names. The Mystery of the Soft-Hearted Man was written by James W. Nichol. David Ferry was Walker. Jacqueline Samuda was Krista. Howard Jerome was Mr. Piatelli. Neil Monroe was Inspector Kiss. Bill Colgate was Joe Smart. Allison Seeley Smith was Detective Percival. Kyra Harper was Yvonne, and Yvonne, and Owen Leach was Gibby. Recording engineer was Janice Beyer, with sound effects by Matt Wilcott. Production assistant was Nina Callahan. Music was composed by Milan Kimlicka. Midnight Cab was produced and directed by Bill Howell. You can hear The Mystery of the Soft-Hearted Man again on Saturday night on CBC Radio on The Mystery Project, 6:30 in most of Canada, 7:30 in Atlantic Canada, 8 o'clock in Newfoundland. We have time to squeeze in a track from the new 4-CD compilation prepared by the Canada Council, one called Here and Now, a Celebration of Canadian Music. This is Maureen Forrester with the National Arts Center Orchestra, conducted by Mario Bernardi. It's just 2 minutes long, but in that time, the composer, Harry Summers, manages to pack in half a dozen good rules for life. Here is Be Perfect and Articulate. Saskatchewan, a report from Nova Scotia about a new discovery of kaolin clay, quite an interesting material, and Brian Maracle on his new book, which is called Back on the Res, about going back to the Six Nations Reserve. I'll see you right after the news. I'm Peter Zosky. Good morning. It's 3 minutes before 11 o'clock. I'm Ken Lang with this hour's information update. And for our first story, we go to Toronto for this late-breaking story.
It's 3 minutes to 11 o'clock, and you're listening to CBC Radio 740. The provincial government says there's been a major setback in the talks to end the OPSU strike. Our reporter, Raj Alawalia, is on the line. Raj, what is the setback?
Well, go back to last night, Jill. There were signals from both sides that an agreement was imminent. The government negotiators thought a proposal on bumping rights would be accepted by the union. It was the only outstanding issue. Anyway, when the union's response came back last night, there were, according to government sources, 12 new issues put back on the table. The government side was shocked. The cabinet minister in charge of the civil service spoke about that this morning in a scrum with reporters. And here's a bit of what he said, Jill.
Better be